Warning, the following commercial contains mature content.
Are you ready for the all-new Anime Girls Gone Violent? It features over 2 hours of hot skillet on-face action, thrilled to the mighty power of our ladies' pickle hammers, and don't forget about the all-purpose boot to the head. These girls don't know when to stop.
And if you order in the next 30 minutes, we'll throw in a bonus video. That's right, two Anime Girls Gone Violent videos for the price of one. Our bonus video, Painful Moments, features up-close and personal action with our helmet cam. Be sure to check out the awesome force of Narunar Sagawa's fist, Kagura Soma's fist, and Akande Tendo's fists of fury. Swim to the beautiful and deadly sword strikes of legendary swordswoman Motoko and avoid the brazen knuckles of Pokemon collector Misty.
Be sure to order with your Anime Express card today. And when you do, ask about the upcoming greatest hit videos called Hot Spring Letters Exposed. Those perverted boys won't know what hit them when our femme fatales find out they've been spied upon. The wind-up, the violence, the hits. Order yours today.
Those clever engineers.
But yeah.
Time for ASO Radio.
Alright, and now it's time for the fabulous episode 62 of ASO Radio. I, of course, am your host, NZ17.
And I am your friendly neighborhood, DV3.
And we've got quite a lineup for you today. We've got a review of the anime classic, Crest of the Stars, and none of that, but we have an excellent hotspot for you. How great is it? We don't even know! we'll find out when that happens. But we also got some great anime news lined up for you. Plenty of it this week, but not only lots of news, but high quality of the news.
There is actually lots of good news, actually.
Yes, last but not least, we have some fan mail this week. Very interesting. And by that, I don't just mean our audience saying things. Actual fan mail.
Yay, fans.
Yes, it warms the cockles of my heart. Exactly what part of the heart is my cockles, I'm not sure, but I think it has something to do with the blood chambers or something like that. Yes, going to be a good show all around. Oh, DB3, did you happen to tell our fans about the upcoming new ASO Radio miniseries?
No, we haven't.
We have not. Well, I think that this is an appropriate time to mention it. Yes, we're spinning off a new ASO Radio series. And I call this a mini-series, not because it's a limited basis thing. Of course, the length of it will all depend on fan input. So basically, this new series will last as long as the fans want it. But enough, how shall we say, suspense. I'll just come right out and tell you, we're coming out with a new series called ASO en Español, which, as many of you have already correctly figured out, is going to be a Spanish language version of ASO Radio.
Hurrah!
Now, as far as I'm aware, this is the first anime online talk radio program done in Spanish, but then when I'm that specific, it's hard not to be. Of course, there may be other Spanish language anime radio programs out there, but I don't think any of them have the qualities of ASO Radio. But then again, you know, I don't even know if there's any out there, so what the hell do I?
But there's only one problem with it.
What's
that? I have to get T-Man here to do it. Z-Guy.
I was going to go, well, T-Man would be nice, you know, add a little something-something, but, yes, Z-Guy will be the primary host for ASO en Español, and hopefully we should be having a new episode of that be showing up very soon. The first premiere episode, actually, going to be very fun. Well, actually, I won't really know what he's saying, but I assume that it will be very fun. DB3 and I should hopefully also be on the show and providing our comments along the way. But enough talk. Have at you with some anime news.
And now it's time for the Any O'Clock Anime News.
All right, DB3, once again, I make it your call. Do you want to take the first, or shall I take the first?
I'll let you take the first.
All right, Eats Me South update. The East Meets South Anime Convention, which recently lost its comm space only days before the event, has fortunately booked a new comm space with the historic Caldwell Building in downtown Anniston, only blocks away from the original space. Details, of course, can be found on their website. So, good news for fans that were hoping to attend.
Hey, in Tokyo Pop, they have some great news. The 5th Rising Stars competition press release was released the other day. It is announcing that the 5th competition is starting, and for the first time in history, the fans will be able to pick the, who they want through the online services.
Much better than the previous years when basically it was just whoever Tokyo Pop liked. It's more along the lines of giving people what they want. And speaking of denying people what they want, Advent Children, the Final Fantasy spinoff, yes, the popular follow-up movie to Final Fantasy VII, has been delayed from the initial hoping release of December to an unspecified sometime in 2005. Unfortunately, this is sad news for all.
Very sad news.
Indeed.
I hope the people don't come and try and hunt us down like, it was you guys that did it. You were the one who told us.
Oh yeah, those guys with the tank, those who hunt hosts?
Yeah, those ones. ADV announces the fan club program. Calling its anime advocates, ADV has launched a fan club program that the U.S. high school, library, or college anime clubs can join in order to receive preview DVDs and other goodies.
Details available at their website. I sure wish that was available back when we were doing anime clubs.
It says a library club. Do you think we could count ourselves as a library club?
Well, we do have a large library of anime. Anyways, apparently Dark Horse has been soliciting... Dark Horse has solicited Katsuhiro Tomo's Hypera, The Little Vampire, for April 27th. The 48-page illustrated children's book will retail for $13.95. And here you thought I was going to talk about prostitution.
And here's our favorite article of the day. Ghost in the Shell 2 breaks 1 million. Oh boy. Goldfish Pictures recently reported...
DB3, you must be more enthusiastic about this, so it's even funnier when we shoot it down.
Okay, let me try again. Ghost in the Shell 2 breaks $1 million mark! Goldfish Pictures recently reported that Ghost in the Shell 2, Innocence, recently passed the $1 million in box office sales in North America. Innocence now ranks as the 9th highest grossing anime released
theatrically?
Thanks, Enzi. In North America.
Well, DV3, I hate to burst your bubble, but there's a few little details I'd like to point out beyond the marketing spin. You see, Ghost in the Shell 2 broke $1 million. Now, if you stop and consider it, that most big blockbuster movies in America make, several million, $100 million in their first opening weekend, the $1 million rather piddly, especially considering that it was released in several theaters nationwide. Not a ton, mind you, but still quite a few. And now it's the 9th highest grossing anime released theatrically in North America. Okay, first of all, not that many anime released theatrically in North America. And number two, I think that's 9th out of 10 anime. Because really, that seems about the number that have been released theatrically here in America. Alright, well anyways, more anime that's on the Cartoon Network related news. Apparently, Detective Conan, Strategy Above the Depths, will be released in Japanese theaters on April 9th, 2005. The poster for the new movie is available in the January issue of Shonen Sunday. And Detective Conan, very fun little series. Of course, it's amazing the conclusions he can jump to, like, oh look, there's breadcrumbs on your chin, so obviously you were eating at the bakery when the murder happened, which means you constituted it with your best friend, who's now here and facing charges.
No, I can't believe you figured it out!
No, you will have to confess everything in front of all these people for no good reason!
It was me, I killed him!
Alright, well anyway, we have a funny, well, unfortunately we can't show you the picture for this, but it was absolutely hilarious about Bandai's millionth visitor.
Yeah, it was a six-year-old little boy who was visiting with his family. They received a bunch of merchandise from the store, and he had a special VIP allowing him to go anywhere in the museum for one whole day.
And he was greeted by a number of different Bandai characters at their museum. And it's kind of funny because earlier this year, Bandai predicted the 1 millionth visitor wouldn't arrive until February of 2005. So definitely the people love their Bandai.
It was funny, the little kid was surrounded by all like these cosplayer characters, and he looked like he was like scared. He was like standing in between them like, oh no, are they going to hurt me?
Well, speaking of anime devotion, apparently Hello Kitty has sold for $102,000. No, the franchise hasn't been sold by Sanrio. That's the price for a single Hello Kitty figurine. Earlier this year, it was reported that a 41-millimeter tall jewel-encrusted Queen Kitty figurine created in celebration of the 30th anniversary of Hello Kitty was released. While the figurine, which is studded with over 250 diamonds and valued at 10.5 million yen, or approximately $105,000, has been sold by the Mitsukoshi department store, which had it on display for quite a while. It was sold to a man in Osaka, or rather, it doesn't specify a man, but someone in Osaka. It is kind of a nice-looking Hello Kitty, but it's kind of hard to tell with all that gold and diamonds reflecting everything and beautiful splendor. No, but down! Oh, sorry. Go ahead, DB3.
And once again, Howl's Castle, Moving Castle, kept Incredibles from reaching the number one in Japan.
Once again.
Okay, well.
This is the first time the Incredibles was in Japan. But yes, Howl, keep kicking it at the box office.
The only international market where it's playing this weekend in which it failed to reach number one.
Yeah, it's very impressive, Howl's Moving Castle, keeping the Incredibles from getting to the number one spot.
It earned $9.3 million this weekend, followed closely by the Incredibles, which earned $7.6 million.
Which, first of all, props to the Incredibles. Very good show. Pixar, large fans of Miyazaki and Studio Ghibli in general. But the interesting thing I find here is that Howl's Moving Castle has been out for a couple of weeks now. We've been reporting on it a while. And yet, it still grossed nearly $2 million more dollars than The Incredibles did. And that's just staying power right there. That just shows the power that Miyazaki and Ghibli have, not only in, the quality of their films, but how dedicated their fan base really is. Alright, well, we've got some interesting news from James Cameron about, more details, I should say, about the Battle Angel movie that he's going to be doing, which some of you may recall we reviewed Battle Angel on this show many years ago. Anyways, James Cameron has told the Associated Press additional information about the Battle Angel live-action CGI movie. It's going to be a combination of live-action and computer graphics, but done photorealistically, so we're not going to have any, Digimon. There will be CG characters and live-action characters. He expects to start shooting it in May or June of this year, and there's going to be about 1,500 visual effects shots. Although it was originally planned for a 2006 release, apparently the movie is currently going to be aiming for a 2007 release so they can, quote-unquote, ride the impending wave of digital cinema. The movie is going to have two different versions, a regular 2D version, which will be in most theaters, and also a special 3D version, which, of course, you'll use those clear glasses that go and move the colors around to make the images seem 3D. Viewers may have seen this at Disneyland has a couple of rides like that, for example. I think Universal Studios now does. Pretty cool.
And new anime pulls in viewers for Adult Swim.
All right, now I'm going to be playing the role of cheerleader during this section.
Biggest adult growth among female viewers.
Oh, I hope that's not breast cancer.
Ooh.
Oh, no way, that's not what they mean by biggest adult growth among female viewers.
In their first month on Adult Swim, Full Metal Alchemist and Ghost in the Shell Standalone Complex showed an impressive average growth of 92% and 79% respectively over the same time slot over last year's among adults 18
to 34. Okay, let's rewind and try that sentence again.
Thanks, Enzy. In the first month alone... Is this deja vu or something? I swear I've read this like five... Okay. In their first month on Adult Swim, Full Metal Alchemist and Ghost in the Shell Standalone Complex showed an impressive average growth of 92% and 79%, respectively, over the same time slot last year among adults 18 to 34.
Wait a minute, DB3. Yes, I like how Full Metal Alchemist has a nearly 20% lead on top of Ghost in the Shell. That makes me feel all warm and fuzzy. Now continue to read so my dreams are shattered.
With men 18 to 34 increasing 72% and 44%.
Oh, nearly 30% this time.
The bulk of the growth came in the form of newfound female viewers.
Impressive.
Increasing 130% during Full Metal Alchemist time and...
Oh, joy!
168% during Standalone Complex
time. Apparently nobody has taste.
Or they're just... can't find anything to do, so they're like, oh, we'll just watch
it. Or maybe there's less people at 12:30.
Overall, Full Metal Alchemist averaged 492,000 adult 18 to 34 viewers, while Standalone Complex averaged 428,000.
70,000 more strong.
Adult Swim continued to be the number one programming block on basic cable for adults 18 to 34 in November, and grew its audience in that demographic by 24% overall compared to a new year ago.
Rewind a little bit.
All right.
Two a year ago.
All right. With the 18 to 34 female audience increasing by 88%.
That's pretty impressive growth there.
That is pretty good growth.
Although they could have phrased adult growth a little better.
Yes.
Well, apparently our good tabloid friends are once again going and making a situation seem more severe than regular. Apparently the United Kingdom tabloid The Daily Mail, oh, that's just a classy title right there, recently has published an editorial reaction to a reported list of manga that the UK Reading Society is making for consideration in UK schools to encourage more reading. The article is entitled Child Murder, Incest, and Rape: Reasons Why Boys Don't Like Reading Boring Crap. Oh, sorry. Is this really how our schools should be encouraging boys to read? The article starts out with the quote, graphic Japanese comic book infamous for the violent and pornographic content of their adult version, not the versions that are going to be in the schools, are being sent to schools by a government-funded agency. The UK Reading Society states it has screened the manga to make sure that the content of the recommended titles is appropriate for 13 to 16-year-olds. But the Daily Mail goes on to suggest that children will become hooked on manga and go to seek more violent and pornographic manga because it's just like opium! Oh, wait, no, I see. They're not going to do violence and pornographic acts themselves. It's more violent and pornographic manga because people just want to be offended, right? They're going to read more than they actually want to see anyways. The article appears on page 49 of the November 21st edition of The Mail on Sunday. I highly encourage everybody to go out and not buy the Daily Mail, and rather have one person go out there, scan it in, type it up, whatever, and put it on the internet for everybody else to read so we don't support this horrible tabloid.
And so we can all make fun of it at a much cost-effective for us.
Yes.
All right, the Anime Network is in trouble. Back in September, it was announced that Comcast had signed a deal with Sony to launch three new cable TV networks in North America. Among the likely candidates was Sony's Animax Network, an all-anime network already available in Japan, South America, and several parts of Asia.
Yeah, it's very interesting, but apparently it's been affecting our friends over at ADV Films and the Cartoon Network. They've confirmed that the Anime Network Video On Demand offering on Comcast On Demand service may be in jeopardy because of this. Comcast, who of course is the largest carrier of the Anime Network, is reported to possibly be looking into offering their own competing service, aka most likely Animax. The Anime Network is looking for their fans' support and hoping that viewers contact their cable companies and demand their anime.
Chris Nelson said that the Anime Network is at a critical time in our negotiations with several major cable and satellite companies. Nelson explains that Comcast placed the burden of proving their viability of all anime TV networks on the Anime Network's shoulders. They tested our worth by offering Anime Network on demand. With the market established, the doors were open for the Anime Network's linear channel. But Comcast may be now looking elsewhere for the anime content.
Yeah, so more or less it breaks down that the Anime Network was a way for Comcast to see that anime as a channel was viable, and so they go around and turn, you know, basically go behind the back of Anime Network and get with Sony to offer their own channel. And by the way, by linear channel, we mean not an on-demand order the anime that's available, but actually a 24-hour channel like a regular television channel is. Apparently, says Nelson, now it has been reported that Comcast might provide space for Sony's Animax.
Nelson also suggested that the easiest way to support the Anime Network is to visit their website and fill out the form. Going a step further, fans can call Comcast or other cable providers and express their desire for the anime network linear offering.
In addition to the anime network video on demand service and the regular television channel, Comcast also carries in some markets Anime Selects, which offers various titles from Central Park Media and Adult Swim On Demand, which carries anime by Bandai Entertainment in addition to the other non-anime offerings. Frankly, I think that's a bit of a BS thing for Sony to be doing to ADV. You know, I mean, that's just really cheap. But like I, you know, we said here, best way if you want to go and express your distaste is go to theanimenetwork.com, fill out their form to go and let it be known to your cable, local cable, and satellite providers that you want the Anime Network offered in their lineup.
It's not a new view, it's not a preview, it's a review. Anime Review.
Alright, for this week, we have DVD Volume 1 of Crest of the Stars. Has 4 episodes on this. Rather scant for an anime DVD release, having only 4 episodes.
Well, yeah, but they probably like...
It makes it for it in its length, quote-unquote. Yes. Crest of the Stars is a very interesting show. It takes place in the very near future. Apparently, mankind has found a way to harness this new type of energy, and he has traveled throughout the cosmos and settled several different galaxies. Then along comes the, what were those blue-haired people called?
I don't remember what those people are called.
Well, anyways, they come around, we'll just call them the Newmans, because that's from, Phantasy Star, where they have the pointy ears and all. Anyways, these quote-unquote Newmans come when they're like, all right, I'll surrender, we'll blow the crap out of you. So they surrender. And then it flash forwards a few years, and now the president, who was, I guess you could say, upgraded to a member of the Newmans parliament, his son is now gone and taken training to become his follower, who will take the place of his dad when his dad steps down or dies or whatever. And
oh, what great training it was.
Oh yeah, fantastic training. They really taught that boy a lot. And so then he's chilling around at the airport for a while. Then
for a while, it was like forever, man.
I know, and then his like friend from school comes along. He's like, hey man, what's up? Remember when we used to kiss like gays in the closet, but we really weren't? Yeah, those were good times. So what you been up to? No, but seriously, it was almost like that, I mean, really. But anyway, so his friend comes and is like, oh, remember the baseball days and how we used to have so fun? Oh, what are they all? Oh, well, that has nothing to do with you because now you've been a traitor and joined these new men in the crowd. And so then he leaves. Then his escort comes, which turns out to be one of the Newmans, you know. And she's all like, oh, hey, you know, I'm all happy and whatnot, and I'm going to be your friend right off the bat. You know, they had, like, really good rapport right away. It's like, no awkward period, no silence, no like, oh, well, I've never seen one of you before. Yeah, well, you're kind of ugly. You know, none of that. But, anyways, it should be mentioned that these Newman people, they're actually supposedly, they were humans from Earth, left Earth a long time ago for some unknown reason through some unknown technology.
Yeah.
Over the years, they've learned how to genetically manipulate themselves so that they can live to be up to 250 years old before they die, and they're eternally young, beautiful, and in shape. And the one side effect, though, is that their hair is blue and their skin has a bit of a bluish tone to it.
Yeah.
So then the escort goes, takes them to... oh, what's that called? You know, an in-between ship?
Yeah, a
shuttle.
Shuttle, that's it.
Takes him on a shuttle, takes him to his actual transport, and then they go over to nearby planet, and that's actually the end of the 4 episodes. There's some crap about
some other people attacking.
Yeah, a bunch of ships going and attacking the one he's on, so he has to go to the planet. But really, that's all that happens. In 4 episodes, that's all that happens. So, it was really...
Yeah.
I mean, there's one thing if the anime is slow because it's got a lot to say or whatever. This one had a lot to say because it kept talking down to the viewers. Like, he'd be like, oh, what's this ship for? And so they'll explain for like half an hour all the crap the ship's for, what it does and whatnot. And then when this fleet of ships is coming after this one ship, they spend like 2 episodes talking with the guy before they send him off. It's like, yeah, we're completely outnumbered, and they're attacking in regularly neutral ground, and they're trying to start a war, but we figured we'd chit-chat a little before we sent you off, you know, because you're our friend, and we all like you for no reason. And, I mean, really, it's just completely ludicrous in so many points. Oh, and then the guy in the first episode is like, oh, I'm so angry at your father, but I'm not going to tell you. Just keep listening to the news. Oh, I'm still so angry. Oh, just keep listening. Oh, you know. And
there were all those great shots of the girl.
I know, it seems like half of the cameras in this show are like waist level or somewhere in there. It's like she jumps into the ship's seat, and it's like the camera's looking up, so you get this like butt and crotch shot as she jumps down, you know, and then his friend's checking out like this girl's butt, like she has U-shaped legs, like she's been riding a saddle for the past couple of days to get to the spaceport, and so it's like walking, so you like sees in between. It's amazing, really. And then there's like one where they're putting something in a locker. Oh, the locker is also waist height, you know. It's so crazy.
And then we can't forget about the opening credits. The
I know, it's just like all of these shots of stars and nebulas, but it's so slow, and the music is so boring.
It's sort of like the Pink Energizer Bunny. You just wonder if it's ever going to die or
anything. Yeah, but at least the Energizer battery has a good tune.
That's
you know?
True.
He's got some good beat going on there, but this is like, oh, no. I'm expecting them to start showing the silhouette of John Williams, you know. But, you know, the show's not all bad, you know. I mean, it had a nice animation quality.
Yeah, I like the animation.
Some of the character designs were really cool. I liked his escort.
Yeah, I liked how the characters felt, like how they were drawn and stuff.
Yeah, more or less it was cool. But really, whoever made this show was either a pervert himself, was trying to appeal to, you know, let's say healthy young men, or it was just simply both. And I really have a feeling that it was the last one, where it was both the guys like, yes, we'll show the captain in her nightclothes, yes, because she's laying down in the ship's tub, yes. And yes, crotch height on the 17-year-old girl, yes, no. So anyways, it had a lot of potential, but it just doesn't really try to live up to the potential, you know?
Yeah.
So I don't know if I've given the greatest, you know, summary of this, because I've more or less been mocking it, but I like the show, you know. I really wanted to like it. I really wanted to, you know, strongly like the show. There's a lot of pros that make you want to overlook the cons, but as it stands, I think I'm going to give this show a recommended, because I like the voice actor's job. We watched the Japanese version. We tried a bit of the English version. So horrible. Really, it was. But the Japanese voice actors, they did do a good job. But the relationship between the guy and the girl, the main characters, that was a bit, like, way too easy. Right? It just, like, happens. They're chatting in his room. And they're, like, getting along. And then they have their first little kiss. But that's, like, over in only a few minutes, you know. It was just really quite ridiculous how these star-crossed lovers became more or less star-crossed lovers off the bat, you know, what with her being a child in love of everything.
Yeah.
But I'm going to give this a recommended. What would you give this show, DB3?
I'd probably have to agree with you on the recommended, just because, like, it's not totally bad, but a lot of the expectations you're having for it just don't live up to what you want.
Yeah, especially in this first volume, there was a lot of flashbacks. I mean,
yeah.
Half the time was practically spent in flashbacks, and even when there were flashbacks, in the flashbacks, they were flashing back and forward. It was crazy.
I remember at the end of the third episode where they're showing the previews for the fourth, and like, yeah, we're going to be fighting, and I was like, I was getting excited. I was like, this is finally going to pick up. And then they take the whole episode, and nothing is achieved.
Yeah, we were actually taking bets whether or not that the ship would be attacked by the end of the volume, and then we went, you know what, I'm taking bets if it will be over by the end of the series. You know, that's how slow it is, but it's, I don't know if I could really recommend it for watching, as in the whole series, but I'd say give this first one a shot, and if you like the first volume, you'll like the rest of the series.
Yeah.
Fan mail. Okay, well, now it is time for the fan mail. This week, believe it or not, we have actual fan mail.
Yay.
Is that impressive or what? This one actually is from Warp Shadow. And since we have fan mail this week, we fired our audience. Isn't that lovely? Yeah, so since we have real fan mail, we just told, you know what? We don't need you anymore. Get out. No, seriously, get out. No, get your crap and get out. And then we realized I was just making it all up, and she was actually busy this week. All right, so what's Shadow Rights? Hello again. I am back with another one of my itemized fan mail. Well, itemized, they're just flowing. Either way, we're glad to get fan mail. Number one, your audience is a good addition to Acer Radio. It would be a good idea to add her to your funnies. Well, we actually had planned to use her for our Anime Girls Gone Violent segment this show. Unfortunately, though, she wasn't able to make it this week. But it is duly noted that you wish her to be in our funnies, and actually, it was already even kind of planned before you mentioned it. Number two, your answer, a cool thing to add to A-Show Radio. I'm somewhat surprised to see that you did a rant about bad dubbing and didn't mention Carl Masek. Masek. Oh, well. Carl Masek. So much can be said about Mr. Masek. Oh, what with all that he's done for the quality of our dubs and all. Unfortunately, though, the name just didn't spring to mind at the time, unfortunately. But for those of you who wish to see what we're talking about, you can tune in to the wonderful Robotech. So,
and if we had started going on Carl Masek, that would have taken, like, the whole, like, a whole other show's time.
Yeah, especially if we, you know, did our research on him instead of just BSing it. So, you know. So, thank you, Warpchild, for sending in our fan mail.
Thanks, man.
And, you know, it should be mentioned real quick that he did so using our brand new fan mail submission form, which is really quite excellent. It's a very nice way to go and send in fan mail. You just go ahead, fill out the convenient little form, and then wham, bam, there you go. It's sent off to us, and you have the option of having a copy being sent to yourself. So, very nice and easy way to do it for fan mail.
Yep.
Well, DB3, we've got a little bit of time for our fan mail this episode, given that, well, we had one fan mail, and we're missing our audience, which we usually blab with forever and ever and ever. So, is there anything that you would like to mention on this bit of fan mail that we're doing this show?
Nope.
Anything at all?
Maybe you should give me some warning, man. I might have been able to think of something.
That was a bit unfair. All right, well, okay. Since we've got a bit of a time, this is kind of a short bit of an episode. Well, that is until we get to our wonderful hotspot. Ain't going to tell you anything. Still don't know what we're going to do. So, we're going to do a bit of role-playing here. We're not going to pull out the pins, papers, dice, and a little bit of cardboard and play D&D. DB3, you're going to pretend you're the audience, okay? And I'm going to pretend that I'm me.
I don't know if I can be that perky.
You don't have to pretend to be the audience, you know, the N audience. You can just pretend you're a member of the audience.
Okay.
All right, well, okay. Welcome to the fan mail. I'm NG17. I love to talk a bunch. Okay, well, we've got our audience with us this episode. Yeah, and as you can hear, they're very excited.
Oh, yeah!
Okay, now we've got a couple of questions. Yes, you with the glasses.
Me, yay!
Yes, you, already.
On the radio.
Yes, you're on the show. Go ahead and speak your piece. What do you think of our show, how we're doing? Got any questions?
Acer Radio's the best, man. It brought me to the anime scene.
Yes, well, we try our best. We try our best. What with me, my speech impediment. So what do you think of the episode this so far?
The episode's really cool, man. I wish I could be on it more often.
Oh, well, you know, we love our fans being on the show.
Yeah, and I think I need to start sending more fan mail, though.
Oh, yeah, well, you know, I highly encourage you to do that because, you know, we're pansies and we need self-assurement. yes, you back there with the afro.
Hey, what's up, man?
Oh, not so much. Just for coming to the show. You got something to say?
Props to you all, man. The show's the coolest.
Oh, thanks, man. Thanks. Any questions you want me to forward to any of my co-hosts? I got DB3, Z-Guy, or T-Man on the line.
Ask T-Man when he's going to come back or send something, man. I miss him.
All right, T-Man, we've got a question here from our audience. What's your name?
Frankie Frank.
Okay, we got a question from Frankie Frank. He wants to know when you're going to be back on the show, T-Man. What do you have to say about that?
Well, the T-Man had to get going. I couldn't stay on the show. I got a lot of busy, like, learning stuff to do. T-Man scouts out his props to his fans, but, you know, I got to get my degree. I'd love to be on the show again. Be really great. Parents went away. Rock Springs kind of got the T-Man sad, but T-Man will stop by hopefully this summer. That's the T-Man plan.
But what about some email from him, man?
Yeah, he wants to know about you sending in some emails, some fan mail, so. Well, I would if I wasn't so busy. Alright, the truth is, I've been going and sending in fan mail to the other shows. T-Man, no!
What? T-Man.
Okay, all right. The truth is, the T-Man hasn't been doing that. He's just been busy with the finals and all. All right. Well, thanks for the question.
Thank you, Frank.
No problem. Okay. It seems that we're just about out of time. We have one more question from the girl in the middle row.
Hey, how are you doing, sweetheart?
Well, okay, a little creeped out at the moment. What's your question for us?
What anime do you hate the most?
What anime do I hate the most? The most recent crappy one I've watched. That's all the time we got for questions for this fan mail. Be sure to tune in next week when we'll hopefully have our real audience with us. And thank you to all the audience members that were here this week. Very, very lovely.
Yeah.
So that's it for our fan mail.
Oh, baby, a hot spot.
All right. Well, we've got a nice video game review for you this week on the Hot Spot. Of course, here on ASO Radio, we love the newer games. You know, there's some really great new games out there. It seems a lot more average games these days than there was in the past. But, though we love our, immersive modern games, we also respect our roots, yo.
Our roots.
And thus, we're going to be reviewing a game that's a bit of a blast from the past. It came out 2 years ago in North America by the name of Shantae. This game is for the Game Boy Color, but if played on the Game Boy Advance, there will be extra features unlocked. So that's a pretty cool connectivity feature there. And of course, the Game Boy Color has much better expression of colors than the regular Game Boy. But the Game Boy Advance trumps that quite a lot. So I recommend if you get this game to play it on the Game Boy Advance, as I did, and thus the review will be based around that fact. The game Shantae was actually developed by WayForward Technologies. This is an American company, and as a matter of fact, the entire game was created and published by Americans. The game was published by Capcom, and it's actually quite a good game, released just about, I'd say, as close as you can get to the end of the Game Boy Color's life cycle. And I don't think it's the last Game Boy Color game, but it's pretty close. But because of this, it is the most technologically advanced Game Boy Color game, I'd say. First of all, it's a platformer. You know, nothing new there. You jump platform to platform, attack enemies as you need. But this throws a bit of cool things into the mix. It's actually, you can tell from this game that the creators were inspired by a wide variety of different games. You can see their influence from years of playing video games. But let me do a little, I'll explain as I go. First of all, you're playing the role of the title character, Shantae. And she is a half-genie that protects the town of Scuttletown. And she has been administered there as basically the protector of the town. It used to be that the towns were guarded over by genies, but that all the genies have long since disappeared, and thus Shantae has taken up the challenge of keeping the city safe. Well, one day, the female pirate Risky Boots comes along and attacks the town in order to go and steal plans that her architect friend had uncovered for a steam engine. Then Risky goes and plans to go and get the four elemental stones in order to build the steam engine and give her great technological power over the rest of the people and the ability to take over the world. Shantae, of course, being the guardian genie, seeks to go and stop her from doing this, and she'll traverse the land in order to go and find the dungeons in which these stones are kept, and then defeat the guardians of those labyrinths and take the stones for her own to protect that from Risky Boots. The island is actually, I'm not sure if it's an atoll or not, but there's a circular path around the island. So basically, as long as there's no obstacle in your way that you cannot pass, you can keep going one direction around the island, and eventually you'll come back to where you were. So that's pretty nice, unlike, you know, a lot of games where it's just you start from the left and you keep walking right until you get to the end of the game. Amazing, isn't it? In this, you're going and you're doing a lot of back and forth footwork, because at first you're Shantae. All you can do is attack with your ponytail whip, and that's it. And as you progress and you go through the dungeons, you'll get you'll come across the genies that were sealed away in the dungeons, and they'll teach you their powers, and then you can metamorphosize into other forms, such as a monkey, an elephant, a spider, and a harpy. Each form adds new abilities, such as the harpy can fly, the spider can crawl on walls and webs and whatnot, the monkey can climb up the sides of walls and can jump high, far distances, and the elephant is strong and can bust through walls. But there's more to it than just acquiring that. Also in these dungeons are baby warp squids, which if you take to the mother warp squids, they will teach you a spell which will zap you right back to the town that you learned the spell in, without having to transverse the dangerous parts in between the towns. Very handy, especially if you're in a rough spot, or you figured out you were going the wrong way. And also throughout the world there are hidden talismans, which once Shantae has those, she can attack in her animal forms, because until she does, she cannot attack in her animal forms and thus is vulnerable towards the enemies without any protection. Also, much like the Legend of Zelda games, there are hidden heart tanks throughout the land, and every time she acquires one, she adds another heart to her life bar, and thus she can take more damage before expiring. The game has unlimited continues, and each time you continue, you have 4 lives. So it's very generous there, and it's a good thing, too, because you're going to be dying a lot in this game. A lot in this game. It's just, there's so many open chasms you'll fall down, and the enemies are really tough. Most side-scrolling games, regular enemies take 1 hit to take down, and tougher enemies take 2 or 3 hits. In this, the average is 3 to 5 hits for an enemy. Wow. And it borrows a lot of elements from Castlevania 2, what with the towns that are interspersed in between dangerous lands and the labyrinth or mansions that were in Castlevania 2. It also borrows the element of night switching to day and day switching to night. It's on, the game has its own clock cycle that it goes on. And at night, your enemies are twice as strong, so instead of 3 to 5 hits, it's 6 to 10 hits to take them down at night.
Wow.
Yeah, it very, very tough. And so the game doesn't just challenge you, but it, in some ways it can really frustrate your less strong-willed players. And so some people might be tempted to give up, but myself, I found it to constantly, and excuse my French here, piss me off so much that I was bound and determined to beat the son of a bitch, okay? And thus I got through, very fun game, like I said, lots of talismans and whatnot you can find in the fields. There will be tree trunks or whatnot, and if you destroy these, they'll actually uncover ladders, and the ladders will have underground sections. You go through those, climb up the ladder at the end, and you'll pop out in another place, acts as a bit of a shortcut method. Pretty nice. Some of the ladders are initially uncovered, some you have to uncover yourself. So that's a pretty cool feature. And of course, warping from town to town right away, that was a godsend, especially in this game. The artwork is really great. It was done by a man named Matt. I unfortunately can't remember his last name at the moment. But you can, at first I was like, okay, is this a game that's supposed to be for boys or girls? Because the characters, they're all, you know, very cute, you know, girlsy, if you would. But they're all very beautiful, and they have very nice looking chests. I don't mean their chests are giant, and I don't mean that, you know, they're like, you know, exposing their chests at every turn. But the characters, they're both cute but attractive at the same time. Which is very impressive for a Game Boy Color game, to tell you. It's amazing with the limited resources what they've done in this, because when night turns to day, actually the entire color palette changes. And so everything will shift colors so it's darker so it looks at night. So very impressive on that. But yes, the girls, they're very cute, but they're also very attractive, and so it's kind of weird to say that, too. But you'll really, the characters are really likable in this game. So in the end, I wasn't able to really determine whether or not the game was meant for girls or boys, what with having a female protagonist and having, you know, lots of cutesy things. So I think in the end, though, it could really be for either group. I just think Matt likes drawing good-looking girls. For those of you that get bored of the main quest, however, there's a lot of mini-games. Each town seems to have its own mini-game. One of them is you're actually in a dance competition, kind of plays like DDR, but instead of having a whole bunch of arrows flying up in four columns, it's a single column that contains all the arrows and the A and B buttons. Problem with this, though, is that all of the arrows and the A and B buttons are the same colors, and so it makes it very hard to tell which is which, especially, I imagine, on a regular Game Boy. So that's kind of a downside there. Then there's the foot race, which you can do against the zombie girl Roddy Tops. And, of course, you can tell this game is full of puns and tongue-in-cheek. And there's also a betting game where there'll be, like, this dice rolling, and you try to hit it as close to six as possible, and then the computer opponent does the same, and whoever gets it, their climber will climb up the pole, and then whoever's climber gets to the top first, you win the money. There's just all sorts of mini-games in this. Also, in the shops, you can use the money that you've earned from defeating enemies and finding it in dungeons to go and buy new moves for her. So she doesn't just have the ponytail whip attack, she can also do like a high kick, a screwdriver spin, she can dash, she can do a high air spin. So she's got the good, plenty of available options for moves and transformations and whatnot. The end boss in this game was actually, I kind of liked it in one way, is that the game is hard as nails, and so you're kind of like, okay, psyching yourself up, this boss is going to blow my mind, this level is going to be impossible, and then when you get to the last level, it's actually rather easy. You just more or less need to transform into a different form, and then you're able to get past most of the obstacles and get right to the end boss. Which actually there's, I guess you could say, two end bosses. One is when you're trying to take down this big machine thing, and then you have the actual fight with the end boss. And that end final fight could be rather tough if you don't know what you're doing, but if you've gotten all of the talismans, it's actually a rather easy battle if you kind of figure out what to do. So the game's constantly challenging. It takes the route of mini-games, like I said, and gives you an easy final battle, so you feel like, oh yeah, I'm the man, taking things down, so strong, but so long, and now I'm taking everything down, you know. And so it's still got a bit I need to uncover. There's still one more heart tank. There's still an area that I haven't found yet. Drive me crazy. But all in all, it's pretty cool, and I have to say that this game, first of all, if it was just the main game alone, where you're going, getting the stones, and then taking down the you know, bad guys, it would be a good game. But with all the mini games and extras and upgrades and side quests and whatnot you can do, it takes what would be an average but difficult game and making an even better game. So I can't, unfortunately, though I'd like to, give this a highly recommended, because even towards the end of the game, after you've gotten all the power-ups, even though her animal forms are more powerful with their attacks than Shantae herself is, you still feel at the mercy of the environment and regular enemies, because they can still do a good deal of damage to you even at the end. So because it's not, how to put this, the game doesn't have a constant level of challenge in that the game keeps adjusting itself to how well you play. It's just the level of challenge stays the same throughout the game, and so enemies at the beginning of the game are just as difficult as they are towards the end. You just have a couple of additional moves so you can take them out in different ways. So as much as I'd like to give this a highly recommended, unfortunately, it falls just a little bit shy. So I'm going to give Shantae for the Game Boy Color, or Game Boy Advance, if you play it that way, a couple of extras in there. I'm going to go and give this one a recommended. DB3. It is time to close up the show, it seems.
How sad.
How sad indeed. It is kind of like the bitter part of our bittersweet show. But then again, if we talked on and on forever, then we could be easily replaced by other means of entertainment, like CNN.
Oh, boy.
And nobody wants to replace A Show Radio with CNN.
Oh, no.
Because the last thing we need is boring news. We only feature the interesting news on A Show Radio. It's DD3!
Oh, sorry, sorry.
Why you?
Sorry, sorry. You, I don't know.
Oh, well. Anyways, for episode 62, this is NZ17.
And DB3.
Signing up.